listening to the Survival in Motion podcast. Learn, adapt, prepare, survive.
Hello, everyone. This is author Cal Wilson, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Survival in Motion podcast. On this episode, I wanted to take an inventory of my bug-out bag, and I think there might be some things about my bug-out bag that are a little bit different than what you might expect. I think it's a good idea to inventory your bug-out bag at least once a year. I usually do that, but this time I'll actually do that for you and tape record it so that you can get the benefit of what I've packed in my bug-out bag. These are also known as emergency bags or BOB. Basically, it's that collection of things that is quickly, easily grabbed and made off with in case you're in a very serious emergency. Many years ago, I had a house fire, and that was one of these situations where all I could do is just reach out and grab something real quick, assuming that the whole house was going to burn down, which most of it did. But that's just one example. If there's floods coming in, if you're being evacuated for whatever reason, if there's a tornado coming through, hurricane, whatever, it's a good idea to have a bug out bag, whether it's a duffel bag or a backpack or even just a 5-gallon bucket, just something that will allow you to survive just a couple of days. Before I get to that, I wanted to spend a little bit of time doing, I think, what podcasters call house cleaning. And I've got a couple things I just wanted to mention just administratively. Number one is this podcast is not meant to be a sell-a-thon. I listen to other podcasts and I just don't like it when I'm being given the hard sell. I remember when I was a little kid, or actually when I was a teenager, and like most teenage boys, I liked cars. So I would go to the local car show. And when I got old enough to be able to finance a new car, I would get this kind of hard sell all throughout the car show, when really all I was there for was just the next year's Corvette and maybe a huge 4x4 pickup truck or something. I had no interest at all in a Ford Flex or whatever. I don't like hard sell. And I hope you don't think of this podcast as something that I'm just here to sell stuff, because I'm not. The whole point of this podcast is to exchange new ideas on prepping, to get feedback on my prepping ideas, to come out with different ideas on prepping and surviving, that kind of thing. It's not to sell stuff. On the other hand, I do appreciate those few of you who have clicked on the shop at Amazon and you've gone and bought a few things on Amazon, and I get a little bit of a kickback from that. On the other hand, it's a good thing this podcast is not a sell-a-thon, because I'm not a good salesman. A couple weeks ago, I went onto the Amazon affiliates website that's hooked into Survival in Motion, and I noticed a number of you had gone on to Amazon and had bought some things through this website, and I'd gotten some commissions. And right off the bat, I just thought, well, obviously these listeners have taken my well-thought-out ideas and sober advice and gone on to Amazon and bought the things that I was talking about on my podcast. And then I got to click the details of what was bought. Wrong. I'd say 99% of what was bought on that Amazon affiliate account had nothing to do with what I was talking about. So I'm a pretty bad salesperson, even if I tried anyway. There were some things that were kind of different, a little off the wall. The earphones that can be worn in the shower, I had a hard time envisioning a listener of this podcast to buy that. And there was a Wi-Fi signal enhancer, which looked interesting. I might actually buy one of those myself. It's something where you plug in like to an outlet in your bedroom when the Wi-Fi antenna is down in the den, that kind of thing. So it enhances the Wi-Fi signal. I might buy myself one of those one of these days. So anyway, this podcast is not meant to be a big sell-a-thon, and I don't like being sold myself. So anyway, there you have it. If there's a time when I do mention something that is available on Amazon and you're not interested in buying and you don't like the selling that's going on, then just let it wash over you. Don't worry about it. It's not like the point of this podcast is to sell you anything, so don't worry about it. Except my books, and I'll put it this way. Each of the four books I've written so far, starting with Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping, Dirt Cheap Valuable Survival Retreat, and including EMP, The End of the Grid as We Know It. If you buy any one of these books, all of your wildest dreams will come true. So I'll just leave it at that. Another purpose of this website, Survival in Motion, is to get email addresses of readers who are interested in further news about my books and new book offerings, that kind of thing. So anyway, that's the extent of the selling that will take place here. We do have a short block of commercials that will be targeted towards the demographic of people who listen to Survival in Motion, and I'm talking about preppers and survivalists, well, duh. Also, gun owners and current and retired military people, thank you for your service. And also police officers and other first responders, thank you for your service as well. And believe it or not, there's another demographic who listen to these podcasts, truckers. And thank you for you guys and your service as well. It's not exactly the same as being shot at, but we thank you for your service as a trucker. Okay, now on to the podcast for bug out bags and enough of the administrative stuff. Okay, there are at least three reasons to review everything in your bug out bag. There might be more, but I've come up with three. Number one is expiration dates. Sometimes this has to do with items of food that you have in your bug out bag or medicine. And not all expiration dates are the same. There are some that you want to be pretty strict about. Like I've got some packets of tuna fish, and that involves a lot of meat and moisture. So when those packets say, hey, the expiration date is whatever, that's an example of something where after the expiration date is over with, I just toss those. That's not always the case. Some, like aspirin or something, that's, I don't pay as close attention to the expiration date for that. The second reason to review everything in your bug out bag is that in the intervening year, you have learned a lot more about prepping and surviving. And let's face it, that's always the case. Every year, I know for myself, every year that I have been a prepper, I feel like I know a lot more now than I knew last year and the year before that. And I know a year from now, I'll know even more than I know now. When I do this annual bug out bag checkup, the chances are I might come across some things. I figure I don't really need that. Now I know better, so I don't really need that. Or there might be something new. I should have this, but I don't. So that's important. The third reason to review everything in your bug out bag once a year is to remind you what you already have. And that's important because when the disaster comes and you reach for your bug out bag, you're going to need to know everything you have there. And in the middle of the disaster is the wrong time to take an inventory to realize what you have. So if you're in the middle of a disaster and you grab your bug out bag and you don't know that you have certain items in there, well, guess what? You might as well not have them in there because you're not going to be reaching for them to use them to save yourself. So with those three reasons in mind, and like I said, there might be others, I want to go through what I have in my car first. And I have a different approach to bug out bags. I keep my bug out bag in my car because chances are either I'm in my car or I'm in my house all the time. If I'm not in my car or house, I might be in a government building. I might be in church. I might be on my vacant property, but I'm nearby my car, that kind of thing. So like I said, I always keep my bug out bag inside my car, which I think is important. Here's another thing which is controversial. This is controversial, and a lot of people will listen to this and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know. I way overpack. I have a lot of stuff in my car or in my bug out bag that I know I'm not going to need, or the chances are I might not need. I have a lot of stuff I know I will need, But the point is, I keep everything overpacked so that if and when the disaster happens, if need be, I can quickly grab the bug out bag and even leave my car if need be. But I always have more than I need, because that way, if I can assess the disaster, that way I can look into my bug out bag in the car and realize, okay, I don't need this, I do need that. I can throw that away, I can leave that behind, but I will need that. I'll need more of those, that kind of thing. So I think it's a good idea to keep more stuff than you'll realistically need. Because depending on the disaster, you might need different things. If there's a fire, if there's a flood, if you're stuck in the snow, if you're getting evacuated, whatever. They're different disasters require different ingredients of your bug out bag. And so if you pack more stuff, you'll have more to choose from if and when the time comes. So that's what I do. Some people might think that, that Cal Wilson guy, you know, that's not a bug out bag. That's more like a bug out pallet. Well, you know, that's a fair criticism, Mr. Imaginary Critic. But hey, go ahead and have a big laugh. But we'll see which of the two of us is more prepared if and when the sewage hits the fan. You know, I feel good about this approach of overpacking and throwing away a lot of stuff depending on the disaster that I'm facing. All right, now let me go over stuff that is in my car that is not in my bug out bag proper. And note that I will not be mentioning quantities, although those are important, because it's different depending if I'm alone or if I have my family traveling with me. I'll have different quantities of these items. Okay, first is the car console everyday carry. And I did have a separate podcast episode on that a few weeks ago. So check that out. And there's a good joke in there too. But the car console everyday carry, basically a multi-tool. I think this is a top of the line Leatherman that I have right here. And it's in a nylon case. And I also have this cool little flashlight. It has a strap on it. And it is connected to a pepper spray thing. So those two are connected, and that's just right near the gear shifter. Inside the console itself, which is what I lean my elbow on when I'm driving, I have Tylenol for pain relief. I have Excedrin also for pain relief, but also for caffeine. And every once in a while, if I'm driving around and I feel like I'm getting tired, I'll just pop a Excedrin, which has aspirin, acetaminophen, and caffeine in it. I have Aleve in there every once in a while if I'm doing some outdoor work, like on the property, and I get back in the car and my muscles tell me, hey, you know, guess what? I'm going to make you miserable in a couple hours. I want to have some Aleve nearby. Benadryl is good to have. It will make you tired, so you need to be careful. But if I'm nearby somebody else who's having an allergic reaction, Benadryl is a good thing to have around. I also have fingernail clippers, not only to clip my fingernails, but they come in handy just to cut little things every once in a while. I also have $300 cash, which is in different denominations. That figure might go up. I just figure that might be a good idea to have for whatever disaster. I think the dollar is still good to have in case of emergency. Okay, on the front floor of my car, I have some Wells Lamont work gloves, and I keep those immediately in front of the driver's seat and make sure that they don't get up where the gas pedal and the brake pedal are. But those are good work gloves just to work in, and also I figure it's a dual use in case I need to wear them if it gets cold. You know, if the car conks out and I'm snowed in or whatever, it's good to have something like that for my hands. Okay, also I have a handgun, and I also have a permit to carry a concealed weapon. I have one of those windshield hammer and seatbelt cutter thingies. I posted this on a previous podcast where I think it was ABC News. It had a great thing. They showed what it was like to be inside a car that drove into a lake. And almost immediately, the car fills up with water. And you have literally seconds to get out. So that's why I want to have one of these little hammer. It's like an orange plastic hammer in the glove compartment and something to cut seatbelts if the seatbelts are not cooperating. I think I discussed that in the podcast on Houston flooding. Also, in the back of my car, I have a workout bag. Occasionally, I go to the workout gym. In that workout bag has a change of undergarments. It's got some clothes. It's got tennis shoes. It's got a bathroom towel. And it's got a miniature bag that will allow me to go into the bathroom there at the gym, shave, brush my teeth, shampoo, cream rinse, soap, that kind of thing. Okay, there's also, and this is a new thing with me, I have a range bag with ear protection, extra ammo, extra magazines, eye protection, and I've got a couple of extras of these for friends when they join me at the shooting range. I also have a tool bag, and that has inside it just basic tools. And that's not necessarily a survival thing. That's just something I've always had in every car I've ever had, is just a toolkit, just with some basic tools. First aid kit, same thing. Every car I've ever had, I've always had a first aid kit in it. I've also carried with me some sunscreen. Here's some extra stuff that I'm just going to go down the list, you know, before I get into the specific bug out bag itself. Here's some other stuff, like a camo tarp, which is very small. It's extremely light, takes up no room at all. And I figure a 6x9 or 10x12 tarp will really come in handy if need be. I also got a 6-pack of bottled water from the dollar store. I have several mainstay survival wafers. I have a bottle of food pills. Every Christmas, one of the Christmas movies we watch, only because we're weird, is Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Well, in that movie, the Martians, they say, okay, it's time to have dinner now. So they pass out a couple of pills. So I saw that on sale at Amazon. I thought I'd give it a try. The pills taste okay, but what you're looking for basically is number of calories a day for a guy, you know, a full-grown guy or woman. We're talking 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day, and those pills do that pretty well. I've got several machetes just accumulated through the years. One of them on the backside is a saw. I also have a wool hat, and I keep that in my car. I'm not a big fan of wearing hats in general, especially wool hats. It's just not my style, but if you're ever in snowed in or whatever, I've just read many times that you lose a lot of heat through your head. So that's why I thought I'd keep a wool hat here, even though I just never wear a wool hat. I'm just not the type. Also in the far back, I have a sleeping bag and a sleeping pad. Also, I have a pup tent. This is another thing where these are so small, they take up next to no space at all. And I can imagine it would be very, very valuable if I'm hiking home and I'd like to sleep in a pup tent as opposed to outside. Also, I have one of those Gerber fold-up shovels, and one side of the shovel head, I guess you call it, is a blade, so that doubles as self-defense. I fold it up and carry it in a carrying case. I have one of these bags of, I think, 50 peanut butter MREs, and you can get these either at Emergency Essentials or Ready-Made Resources. I'm kind of into MREs, I admit it, but the peanut butter MREs, this is great as a snack. And I've been known to break into that packet every once in a while, just in the middle of an afternoon when I'm just a little bit hungry, and eat a peanut butter MRE. It's pretty tasty. Also in the far back, I have a tire inflator and battery charger made by Caterpillar, I believe. And I bought this at Costco for about $85. It's one of these things that needs to be plugged in, so I strung a extension cord from the 12-volt power source in the back seat of my car, and I strung that into the back of the car so that this battery charger and tire inflator is always plugged in and being charged up. Also in the far back nearby the bug-out bag, I have lots of packets of paracord, and the thinking there is same as the tarp, which is, I can imagine it would be very, very helpful in time of emergency, but it weighs next to nothing, takes almost no space at all. I wear a paracord belt every once in a while, and this is something you can buy on eBay. I think I paid $30 for my paracord belt. It's just like a regular belt, except if need be, you can cut it apart, and then it's got a whole ton of paracord. I also have several sports Berkey bottles. These are about $20 or less on Amazon. I don't think you can have too much stuff that will help you clean water and keep yourself hydrated when you need it. So I would advise people, buy more than you think you'll need as far as water filtration. So that's it as far as stuff in my car that is not in the bug out bag. We're going to take a break, and then when we get back, I'm going to go into the bug out bag contents itself. So stay tuned.
It's time to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Head to Cabela's for hunting and outdoor gear. It's all field tested, field proven. You can trust our gear. Shop three ways and find everything you need. Cabela's, world's foremost outfitter.
Imagine you're lost in the woods. A hiking trip gone awry. Didn't think to bring extra water bottles. There's a stream nearby, but the water isn't clean to drink. Well, that's no longer a problem with LifeStraw, the most advanced water filtration technology out there. You can literally drink water from the stream using LifeStraw, and it'll filter out any bacteria or parasites that might be in there. Don't believe me? Try one for yourself. Costing as low as $19.95 for our cheapest model. You can buy one at www.lifestraw.com. Again, that is www.lifestraw.com.
I'm Sheriff David Clark, and I want to talk to you about something personal, your safety. It's no longer a spectator sport. I need you in the game. But are you ready? With officers laid off and furloughed, simply calling 911 and waiting is no longer your best option. You can beg for mercy from a violent criminal, hide under the bed, or you can fight back. But are you prepared? Consider taking a certified safety course in handling a firearm so you can defend yourself until we get there. You have a duty to protect yourself and your family. We're partners now. Can I count on you?
This safety message brought to you by the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office.
You're listening to the Survival in Motion podcast with author Cal Wilson.
Okay, now to the bug out bag itself. This is a big black backpack with lots of loops and straps all over it. That's exactly how I like it. So I can add and subtract as need be. I would recommend black or dark green as a backpack color, not camo, because I think camo would just attract attention if you have to go through a city. Inside some of the loops on the outside here, I have a wrecking bar, aka a tire iron. This doubles as self-defense or getting into a place that is locked. And I'm not recommending burglary at all, but just picture the absolute worst case scenario. And I think this will come in handy. By the way, that crinkling metallic sound you hear is the tinfoil hat that I'm wearing. I don't think that'll get in the way, but just so you know. All right, here's a strap that I looped a compass, and on the other side there's a thermometer. On the other side there's a paracord bracelet that you can buy. I've seen these all over. It's black, and it's looping around a monocular case. A good monocular inside. Okay, the top packet outside has one baggie with, looks like a pint-sized baggie, of just Gatorade powder and squincher powder that you can mix into water. It's got another baggie filled with the coffee stuff that I like, Via from Starbucks, and a collapsible coffee mug, sugar, creamer, that kind of thing. All these baggies, by the way, are freezer baggies, so that they are thicker. They last a lot longer. If you're interested in what I put into this baggie that has coffee stuff, I had a whole episode of the podcast on that a couple months ago, so check it out. Also, the lower package on the back, let me just pull out everything here, has one of these collapsible 2-gallon containers for water. It's a plastic collapsible thing. The name of the game is you have to get 1 gallon a day into you. So this is collapsible, and I know it'll come in handy. if I come across a water source, further on in the bag, I have a filter. There's also a wet ones wipes here, and these look like they're no longer wet, so they're trash. Here are a couple of snacks, a bunch of M&Ms. I think M&Ms last longer and they taste better. Here's a tuna fish packet. Not too impressed with the number of calories here. Well, that's not true. It looks like about 180 calories per packet. Good thing that Starkist made it camo colored on the outside, he said with sarcasm. So that's the two containers on the backside of this backpack. I'm opening up the first part of this backpack here, the first half of it, pulling out. Okay, I've got some Mountain House packets here. I've got a breakfast skillet. This is a great thing that Mountain House does, this breakfast skillet. It tastes great, and I wouldn't mind eating it even before an emergency. Here's a packet of Mountain House lasagna. This is 2.5 servings. I'll be stuffed when I eat that. Here's a MRE I squeezed down so it won't take up so much space. Spaghetti with meat sauce has got a bunch of crackers in there, seasoning. It's got some kind of dessert. I don't know. Also, I've got another baggie filled with fire-making stuff that I put together, which includes cotton balls, the spark things that you kind of stab into the ground and they create sparks. And also I've got a separate inner baggie with cigarette lighters. I've also got some Vaseline. I've got some camping matches, so I'm good to go as far as fire-making equipment. All right, a couple of other things I wanted to mention. Also looped on the outside of this backpack is a everyday carry thing, and I'm opening that up. I've got another compass, another thermometer combination, but this time it has a whistle. There's some chapstick there. Here's a little flashlight that looks pretty cool. Tucked away in one of these pockets is a bunch of Xerox copies of important papers like my driver's license, that kind of thing. Here's a titanium spork. These things are great. They're strong, but they weigh next to nothing. Here's a Gerber multi-tool. So there's all that. And by the way, I noticed I've got several machetes that have accumulated through the years. And let me just tell you, if you're a good friend of mine or a family member, I'm good to go with machetes. I think I figured out that I've been getting these for Christmas a lot. And let me tell you, it's a very, very thoughtful, very caring gift to give a prepper like me a machete filled with joy and Christmas cheer. But I think I'm good to go. I'm good to go. No more need for any machetes for me. Thank you to those who have given me machetes, but I'm good to go. No more machetes are needed. All right, I'm opening up the main part of this backpack here. And, all right, I've got a Mountain House thing of beef stew there. In the inner pocket, I've got, look like little Mylar bags. They're in their own little packet. They weigh next to nothing. It looks like aluminum foil. It's a blanket that will keep you warm. I have some MRE heaters that specifically say, fill this partially up with water and then lean it against a rock or something. Yeah, well, that's good to know. And here is a laminated map it covers my whole area. Laminated is good in case it gets wet. Got a few peanut butter MREs in here. All right, elsewhere in the main part of the backpack, here's a hunting knife. And it comes with a carrying case that also has a sharpener. Here's a rain poncho. These things are great, except this one is in camo. These things are great, but the thing is, yeah, they have a lot of straps hanging down, so be careful if you're leaning over an engine that you're trying to get restarted or machinery or whatever, because these straps, I've always been a little paranoid these straps might loop into something. I think this poncho is also good for a makeshift tent. That's what the straps are. I've got a bunch of other food here. Pemmican bars. Did I already mention the beef stew, Mountain House? Here's a dish towel. Here are two sets of undergarments, underwear, socks, t-shirts. long johns, a very tightly rolled up cargo pants, and here's some more stuff here. Here's a survival candle, a bunch of beef jerky. Here's some more MREs, refried beans MREs, fudge brownie MRE, vanilla, pound cake MRE. I've actually tasted all this stuff, and I'm okay with it. A lot of people can't wait to throw up if they even mention the MRE, but I'm okay with it. Peanut butter MREs are good for a snack. Here's some more pemmican. These little protein bars, they are, let me see, 210 calories each. You're trying to get about at least 2,000 calories every day. Here's a big brick of mainstay emergency bars. This is probably good for a day and a half just on its own, calorie-wise. So that's cool. Here's another Mountain House lasagna packet. I might have too much of that. Here's a packet of paracord. Let me see. Yeah, 550 pound test. Okay, here's a collapsible stove. Here's a life straw. It's important to have that handy and use it in case of emergency. You want to drink directly from a river and use that life straw. All right, here is a collapsible saw. BG is the brand, and it looks like it is a wood saw. So I've got a bunch of machetes that have wood saws on the back, so that's something I can get rid of. Here is a collapsible stove, camping stove. The brand is Esbit, E-S-B-I-T. They have little things that little like tablets you put in there and you light on fire. That'll boil water and cook whatever. Here's a quart-sized baggie, and I squeezed a roll of toilet paper in here. I think I mentioned this in one of my books, that if you get a regular roll of toilet paper and kind of squeeze your finger in there and pull out that cardboard inner cylinder, that will make it so that you can squeeze a roll of toilet paper into a quart-sized baggie. And I know from experience that whenever you go hiking, a roll of toilet paper is extremely important. Here are three contractor bags. They're like trash bags, but very thick. Here's a roll of Gorilla Tape. It's like duct tape, except they have funnier commercials. But seriously, it's good stuff anyway. Here is a kind of a mesh packet of bathroom stuff. Shampoo, cream rinse, a toothbrush, toothpaste. I've even got some potassium iodide pills in here in case radiation is an issue. We've got some soap, shampoo. What else? I just got a bunch of stuff in here. Some prescription pills, some vitamin pills. I'm not going to open this up, but this is a good thing to have. Oh, sunscreen, of course. And here is there's a secret zipper, last but not least. And it has seasonings, salt and pepper. Has another container with, looks like, garlic salt, seasoning salt, and some kind of peppering seasoning. And then it has a drink enhancer that you can squirt in. It will make the water taste like cherry, and it has extra electrolytes. And here, last but not least, is a cylindrical aluminum tube with a cigar in there, Macanudo. Let me go through a couple of things that are in my first aid kit. I think it's important to have a nylon bag or something that's relatively small that is solid red. So you reach for it, you immediately know this is first aid stuff. Quick clot is important. I've got a bunch of quick clot, not only the powder, but the sponge. I've got a whole bunch of different Band-Aids. I think Curad are the best for that. I've got miniature containers with... Here's Pepcid, here's Tylenol, Benadryl, anti-diarrheal pills. As far as containers to hold pills in, check out the Container Store. Because when you buy a container, here's some Pepto-Bismol. When you buy a container with pills, this is a pet peeve of mine. About 80% of the container is air, and the very few pills are there. So I buy that, I pour it into these real small containers that I got at the Container Store. I got a bunch of, here's a Neosporin spray. Here's Pepto-Bismol, triple antibiotic ointment. Here's some Allegra K case I have an allergic cut or rash or whatever. Here is a snake bite kit. Like I said, a lot of Curad. I like Curad. You can stretch it tight over a cut, and that's what you need to do to stop the bleeding, as well as quick clot. The quick clot sponge and powder is, I think, the way to go. And here are some light sticks. These are the kind of things they're in the plastic. You bend them, and you hear something break inside, and then it provides a lot of light. So I think that's it. If there are this cigar, that's an example. There are a lot of things in my bug out bag that I know a lot of people, a lot of well-known preppers will say, oh, come on, that's crazy. But I guess there are two things I want you to take away from me inventorying my bug out bag like this. Number one, I have overpacked, way overpacked, and I know it. And between this bug out bag, which is ready to go, and the stuff that's in the back of my car, I know I have a whole lot more than I'll ever need. So the second I reach for this bug out bag, I know I can throw away a lot of stuff, depending on the disaster. So there's no one single disaster I'm preparing for. I want to prepare for a lot of different possible disasters. And when I know what is ahead of me, I know what I'll need and what I can throw away. Second thing I hope you take away from all this is the fact that I pay a lot more attention in my bug out bag to creature comforts. Let me tell you, a few years ago, I was evacuated. It was just for 2 or 3 days, but I remember thinking at the end of the third day, I was about as grumpy as I've ever been. And fortunately, the evacuation ended. We were all able to go home, that kind of thing. But discomfort, as far as I'm concerned, leads to crabbiness and a bad mood, and then morale plummets, and the next thing you know, you can make some bad mistakes. So that's why, like, for example, this 2.5 servings of lasagna, I'm going to be stuffed when I eat that. This breakfast that Mountain House makes, the breakfast skillet, that is good. And all these seasonings here, I'm in good shape. All right, so that's it. I hope you found this episode of the Survival in Motion podcast educational and informing, maybe a little entertaining as well. I hear the music. That means our time is up. Thank you for joining me. God bless.